You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264 AS, 100.7 FM.
There's trouble in Israel. As Dr. J. Vernon McGee describes it, it's a time of great heartache and great heartbreak for God's people. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus for another exciting journey in God's Word. We're traveling through chapters 4 and 5 of the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, where we see more of the greatness and humanity of God's man David. For those of you who have been on the Bible bus for a while, you know that Dr. McGee didn't like high-pressure fundraising tactics. But from time to time, he did remind us that this ministry continues today in over 200 languages around the world because God's grace and the quiet and faithful generosity of listeners like you. In fact, he believed wholeheartedly that if God wanted Through the Bible to continue, he would provide through his people. Here's Dr. McGee now.
It has been our policy from the very beginning, and that's 1941, when we began broadcasting the program that's eventuated into the one now called Through the Bible in 5 years. And that policy we adopted then was not to spend time begging or asking people for support, but just to tell our policy from time to time, and it's probably time for me to say just a word about it, and it's very brief. We depend upon the listeners in any station except the foreign broadcast to support the program. If a certain area does not support the station and our program, why, we move on to another station. We found that that's been the best policy. We give a warning each time to see if some folk have just been negligent and hadn't got around to supporting the program. So I trust you'll understand, though we do not spend time asking for support, we're just as dependent as any program on the support of listeners. And we believe that where you get your blessing, that's where you ought to support. And if it's a blessing to you, it may be a blessing to others also.
Remember, you can partner with Through the Bible in bringing God's Word to your community and around the world by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE or mailing your gift to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Or you can visit us online at ttb.org/give. And ttb.org is also the place, by the way, to download your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines that he'll mention in just a moment. Now, before we begin, I want to share a couple of letters from listeners in Kazakhstan. I'm 24 years old, the first one says, and accepted Jesus as my Savior a couple of years ago. Because there are no churches in my area and my family was against my new faith, I gave up. Recently, I met a woman who showed me how to install your app on my phone. I'm so grateful to know more about Jesus and have recommitted my life to him. And then another Kazakhstani listener wrote this. At the age of 19, I watched my older brother drown. I tried to save him, but I was too late. Through this heartbreak, I began to question the meaning of life. Finding no answer, I turned to alcohol to numb my sadness. A few years later, an elderly woman invited me to a Christian church and to listen to your program. This changed my life. I no longer had the need of alcohol. Unfortunately, at that time, I was a scholarship student at a conservatory. When they found out I was a Christian, they no longer allowed me to attend. In the end, God had greater plans. I'm now a pastor and rejoice that I have the opportunity to share God's word with others. Please pray for the lost in Kazakhstan. There are so many who live in darkness. Man, isn't that an encouraging couple of letters? Well, if you're not already on the World Prayer Team, you need to join us today. Go to ttb.org/pray and get stories like this, testimonies of how God is using His Word to change people's lives. Get them into your email every day, Monday through Friday, and you can pray with us all around the world. Let's do that now. Father, help us to learn from the life of David, from what made him great and what made him weak, And then would you show us how we too can become people after your own heart? We want that so badly, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back to the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Samuel. And we're dealing with troubled times for the nation Israel. It was a time of internal strife, civil war, after the death of Saul and Jonathan. And it was a time of great heartache and heartbreak for God's people. And we'll be getting into this chapter 4 in just a moment, but I do want to urge you to write in and ask for notes and outlines if you do not have them, and follow along in this study. This is a section of the Word of God that's usually passed over, but it's given to us, I'm confident, for two reasons: to show us the family of the Lord Jesus, to give us His genealogy. And the second reason is that we're told, Paul tells us, all these things happened unto them for examples unto us for a very definite reason, and they have been given to us in order that they might minister to us in a spiritual way. And that's what we're anxious to note here. Now, we saw last time that there had been a rebellion against David. He'd been made king of the tribe of Judah. He'd moved into Hebron, just at the edge of the kingdom and in the south, and he was there, and that Abner had led a rebellion by putting a son of Saul on the throne, Ish-bosheth. But because this young king reprimanded him and rebuked him because of his position relative to taking a concubine of Saul, why, Abner then went over to David. And he made a big mistake there, because there was a man over there by the name of Joab, and he was waiting for revenge, for Abner had killed his brother, and he lured him out of Hebron, the city of refuge. If Abner had only stayed there, he'd have been saved. But he was lured out by Joab, and then Joab slew him. And we saw last time that David gave the strangest epitaph that any person could have: died Abner as a fool died. Why? Well, he left the city of refuge. He had salvation, and he wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't receive it, and he moved out. How many people today are dying like that? God's offered a salvation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, you have to believe in him. God loves you, but you will have to accept Christ if you're to be saved, because he goes on to say, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think this is God's viewpoint. God says a man's a fool today that'd die without Christ. That is the position of God, not mine. I'm not saying that to you, but that's what God says to you, and I don't care who you are, because this is the position of the lost today who will not turn to Christ, and all of us are lost until we do turn to him. Now, you will notice as we come here to this fourth chapter that this young man, Ish-bosheth, now has lost his captain, the military, and he knows he cannot maintain his kingdom against David without the military. And his captain has been murdered, and beside that, he'd already gone over to David. And so what he's to do? In chapter 4, I begin reading at verse 1. And when Saul's son heard that Abner was dead in Hebron, his hands were feeble, and all the Israelites were troubled. And Saul's son had two men that were captains of bands. The name of the one was Baanah, the name of the other was Rechab, the sons of Rimmon, a Berathite, of the children of Benjamin. For Beroth also was reckoned to Benjamin. And the Berathites fled to Gittam, and were sojourners there until this day, that is, until the time that 2 Samuel was written. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. His nurse took him up and fled. Came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, that's an unusual name.
But you remember it, will you? Because in a few days now, I'll be coming to Mephibosheth. And here is one of the most beautiful stories that was ever told about David. Now, you see, Mephibosheth, as long as he lived, was a constant danger to David because he had throne rights. He was the son of Jonathan. But since he was the son of Jonathan, David would never harm a hair on his head. And later on, David will go looking for members of the family of Saul and Jonathan, not to slay them, but to show kindness to them, to reveal that he actually loved them and did not hate them at all. So the thing that will happen will be just simply this, that he will finally locate Mephibosheth. And everyone expected him to slay him, but he brought that crippled boy into the palace, put him at his own table, and he ate there, and he told him, said, "You'll have free board and lodging the rest of your life." And he protected this young man the rest of his life. May I say to you, this is an act on the part of David for which he should be commended. It's so easy to criticize David. And I think we need to recognize the one who criticized him the most was the Lord. The Lord judged him, friends. But David had many very wonderful traits. This was one of them. Now, in that, we'll see a great spiritual lesson. You and I have been showed kindness because of another. You see, David loved Jonathan, and it's for Jonathan's sake that he exercised kindness. You and I have been crippled by sin. He covers us with his righteousness, and because of another, because of what Christ did for us, God accepts us and receives us. What a beautiful picture we have here. I call your attention to it because we'll be coming to it later on. But now we follow this story, and it's not a beautiful story by any means. This was a great period of crisis. It was the transition from the kingdom of Saul to the kingdom of David. There had been civil war. There had been rebellion, you see, during this period. Now when these two underlings who were petty officers under Abner in the army of Saul discovered that Abner was dead, and they recognized the strength and the power of David at this particular time, they conspired to put this boy who is a son of Saul to death. And they made a big mistake, by the way, in doing that. And so when Ish-bosheth was in bed, why, they slipped upon him and they slew him. And it was a bloody, ugly thing. Now, they expected by doing that that they could make peace with David and that David would actually reward them for this. And so they immediately took the head, imagine that, of this boy over to David. Well, David was not even about to accept it, friends. He would not in any way approve of that. In fact, these men had committed a murder, and they had murdered a king, and he executed them summarily for doing this dastardly deed. David now is king over the land. He exercises that authority. But yet the 10 tribes, or actually it's really the 11 tribes, because at this particular time, even the tribe of Benjamin, which later went with Judah, this tribe was the tribe out of which Saul came. They were with the tribes in the north. And so actually it was 11 tribes against one. Now those in the north recognize they no longer have any leadership. And there's no one to assume authority. And it's foolish to carry on this rebellion at this time against David. And so they now attempt to make overtures for peace. And notice how they do it. And that brings me here to chapter 5. And notice this. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron. That is, they sent representatives, of course, saying, "Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." And that was true. And that's the thing that made this civil war as terrible as it was, because those people were fighting among themselves. I personally think the greatest and worst war that this country fought was the Civil War. I think that as you look back at it today, it was almost something that was unnecessary. It was the hotheads, the protesters in that day that got this country in trouble. And that's the reason I'm opposed to all hot-headed protesters. I don't care what side they're on today, because that's the crowd that got this nation in trouble way back yonder. It was not the man who actually fought the war like General Grant and Abraham Lincoln and Robert E. Lee. They found themselves in an awkward situation. And you can still see the vestige in the carryover of that war that was fought actually over 100 years ago. And yet the scars are still here. And so this was a great civil war that had been carried on. Now that nation is to be united under David and to enter the greatest period that this nation has ever enjoyed in the past, and it'll be typical of the day that Christ comes and rules. Now will you notice what we have here? All the tribes now come to David through their representatives. Listen to verse 2. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, thou shalt be a captain over Israel. Well, they are rather late in getting around to acknowledge that David was the legitimate and the right ruler over these people. And they should have recognized this before, but belatedly they've got around to it now, and they recognize him. So that all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. Now this nation is ready to enter its greatest period of prosperity and expansion. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah, which actually means he reigned 40 years and 6 months. Now notice the first move that David does to consolidate the kingdom. He moves the capital from Hebron up to Jerusalem. Verse 6, and the king and his men went to Jerusalem under the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. They underestimated David again. David was a great military leader and a great leader politically and a great king, and most of all and best of all, he was a real man of God. Now notice this. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Mark that in your Bible. I've marked that in my Bible, and you know why? Zion was David's favorite spot. The city of Zion is the city of David. And if you've ever been to that land and to the city of Jerusalem, you'll recognize that it is the high point of the city. Actually, in David's day, Jerusalem was way down near the valley of Kidron. They have found the walls that went around that particular city at that particular time. And it's way down below. Actually, the present city of Jerusalem is up nearer Mount Zion. And yet it's in the Israel side, actually. And it's not a part of the old city. Here's where the palace of David was built. And later on, below him, that's where the temple was to be built. David chose all of this. Now, Zion and Jerusalem was David's city. He has many psalms that tell us about Jerusalem. And very frankly, it wouldn't be my favorite city. I agree with David on many things, but not on Jerusalem. Pilate hated this city, and he only came up there during the feast days. That's the reason he happened to be there at the Passover when the Lord Jesus was arrested. He was there to keep order. And when it was over, he retired to Caesarea because he loved it down there on the Mediterranean. And I'll be very frank with you, I think I would much prefer that than Jerusalem. But as far as the Bible is concerned, Jerusalem is yet to be the great capital of this earth. And I'm delighted to know that I'll not be living there in eternity. I'm going to be in the New Jerusalem, and it has a much greater vantage point than the earthly Jerusalem. But we need to note here, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David, you see. What he did, he moved and took the top of the hill, and not the city proper. And from that vantage point, he was able to take this city of the Jebusites, and they found themselves overwhelmed before they even knew that there was a battle going on. Now we read here, verse 8, and David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David, so he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Now David here is doing something that apparently is the result of his years of out yonder roughing it. And David was a rough and ready individual, by the way. Now, keep in mind, God would never let him build the temple. So don't become too critical, because God is the one who judged him. And we need to remember, even believers should recognize this one of another. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or fall. And I have no right to sit in judgment over you. You have no right to sit in judgment over me. Now, I am going to have to stand before God as a believer. My works will be tested, and yours will too, my beloved. Not for salvation, to see whether you're going to receive a reward or not. Now, since I'm his servant, and you're his servant, then I'm not your servant, and you're not mine. Therefore, we're not to judge each other on that basis, you see. Now, let's not judge David, because God already judged him. And I want to tell you, God took him to the woodshed and gave him a good whipping. We're going to see that. Now we are told in verse 9, so David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. That was Mount Zion. And David built round about for a mile and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. And Hiram king of Tyre sent messengers to David, and cedar trees, and carpenters, and masons, and they built David a house. Now you see, when he moved up there, took the city, why, he now has a wonderful friend in a man up there in the north, and that was Hiram, king of Tyre. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people Israel's sake. And Hiram recognized that David was an outstanding man, so he worked out with him an arrangement whereby he supplied materials and workmen to build him a palace. And we're told, verse 13, and David took him more concubines and wives out of Jerusalem after he was come from Hebron, and there was yet sons and daughters born to David. Now that is the record of the facts. It's not God's approval, because it's here. We'll find out it was definitely God's disapproval, and in his son Solomon it eventuated in the splitting of the kingdom today, and finally really brought on the Babylonian captivity. Why? Because this man is king. He's in a place of leadership, and this is wrong. Well, who says it's wrong? God says it's wrong. And after all, this is his universe. He makes the rules. If you don't like them, well, I don't know about you, but most of the rules of God are pretty good. The fact that God today has put us on a universe, and he sticks us on here with scotch tape. We today have another name for it, but it is one of the laws of God, that you're going to just be held to this earth, and you can't get very far away from it. It'll pull you right back down. And that's a law of God, by the way. He has some good rules and regulations, and after all, he made it. It's his universe. Now, will you note here that we find something that we need to note in particular? And these be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shammua and Shobab. Now, I know nothing about those two boys, and Nathan and Solomon, but I do know something about them. From the line of Nathan came Mary, the mother of Jesus. From Solomon came Joseph. And from both of them, the Lord Jesus got the bloodline and the legal title to the throne of David through Nathan and Solomon. And that's the reason that it's recorded here for us. Now we find that David carries on here in a monotonous sort of way, this war with the Philistines. But when the Philistines heard that they'd anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hole. And we find here that there was war between David and the Philistines. Never was there peace in this enemy. Next time we're going to see David bringing up the ark, and that's a case of doing the right thing in the wrong way. We'll see that next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, things sure are getting interesting in Israel, aren't they? Hop aboard next time as we learn more about David. In the meantime, go deeper in your study of God's Word by getting our monthly newsletter. Sign up for our mailing list by visiting ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, as always, asking God to bless you as you walk with Him today.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow.
Our study today was made possible through your prayer and financial support. We'll meet you back here next time. In fact, we're going to do this together, Lord willing, till Jesus comes again. In which case, we'll meet you in the air.
You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC, COCO, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco 99.9 FM.
Greetings in the name of Jesus. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our phone number is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord once again out there in Radio Land. We thank God for another opportunity just to praise Him, to give Him all the honor and the glory. And I pray that you today that are sitting in your easy chair in your home, or those that are in nursing home, or prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, I just want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. I mean, He truly and really loves you, because He came here into this earth to die for the sins of the whole world, and that includes you. Does not matter what ethnicity you are, no matter what part of the track that you lived on, Jesus came for us all, because the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I tell you, He loves us. Keep in mind always that no matter what obstacles come your way, what problems you may have in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you so much. Keep that in mind. Praise God. I want to take you into the Word of God. And when I say the Word of God, that's exactly what I'm speaking of. The Word of God. It's not my preference. It's not anything that some denomination have conjured up. It is actually and truly the Word of God. Because Jesus said that He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. If you want to get back home, you need to know what the Word of God says. And if you want to stay out of the arena of confusion or perhaps deception, you need to know what the Word of God says. So come on now. Let's go to church. Praise God. We want to look at First John 1, and we want to start at the beginning of the chapter, and it is so enlightening in terms of what John is telling us. The apostles were with him, praise with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we want to get into a number of things, because also with the fellowship, and he's telling us how we should walk as children of God. So Minister Gloria, my lovely wife, I thank God for her. Without her and Jesus, first of all, without Jesus and her, it would be virtually impossible. But I thank God for my lovely wife, and our Lord Jesus Christ has bonded us together for 55 plus years, praise God. And I thank Him for it, because without Him, it wouldn't be possible. Praise the Lord. So let's go to church here and look at what the Word of God says today. And if you have your Bibles, open it up and follow us, because what we're doing is that we are approaching the scriptures with the proper exegetical approach concerning line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. And that is what the scripture tells us that we should be doing. And that way you can get an overall picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, the one in whom He came and died, was buried, rose again on the third day, ascended back into heaven, and now sitting down at the right hand of the Father. And oh my God, He may be on His way. Glory to God. We don't know. The Bible tells us that we don't know the hour or the day that the Son of Man comes. But I want to tell you, be prepared. Amen. Have the Word in your heart. Glory to God. Minister Gloria, you want to read
that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled.
Good God
of the word of life.
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Well, I want to tell you, we all know in the beginning what happened, because in the beginning, according to John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, glory to God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, my God, all I want to do is just lift up Jesus. He is all we need. We don't need new vehicles. We don't need a new house. We don't need business. We don't need none of those earthly things. We need more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody out there in Radio Land just said, thank you, Jesus, for what I have. I thank you so much for it. Continue, Minister Glory.
For the life was manifested.
Good God Almighty.
And we have seen it.
Ooh, Lord Jesus.
And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life.
Yes, Lord.
Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us.
Lord, my God, He was with the Father. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, a lot of folks think, well, listen, they are waiting on eternal life. You know, they're saying they're waiting for the by and by. But let me tell you something right now, and believe what I'm saying, because the Word authenticates what I am telling you, praise God. It says that if you're not waiting on eternal life, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life? He is eternal. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anything, my God, that comes out of the Godhead is God. And I want to tell you, Jesus, when you receive Him as Lord and Savior of your life, you have received eternal life. Glory to God. Now you can continue in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why here in the earth realm, through the humanity of us all, my God, a lot of folks are now confused, and they're saying, well, I'm waiting to receive eternal life. Well, eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. I said the Lord Jesus Christ, He is eternal life. And once you open up your heart and ask Him to come in, glory to God, and He comes in and fill that temple, fill you with His Holy Spirit, you have eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you.
My God.
That you also may have fellowship with us.
Good God Almighty.
And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ.
Glory to God. A lot of us, we get together and we say we were breaking bread and eating our food and satisfying the flesh. And we said that we have fellowship. But I want to tell you today, glory to God, that the fellowship, the true fellowship, and this is what's happening. It's nothing wrong with folks coming together and dining and so forth. That is nothing wrong. But what I'm talking about is the true fellowship. The true fellowship is with who? The
Jesus
Father
Christ.
And with the Son. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
With the Father and the Son. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have when we have fellowship one with another. Praise God. Hallelujah.
And these things write we unto you,
yes,
that your joy may be full.
Glory to God.
This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Praise God. You see, God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. So if we are saying that we have the Lord Jesus Christ, we have Him in our lives, I want to tell you, there's transparency. People will be able to see. There will be no hidden agendas in your life if you're truly walking with the Master. God is light. He is light. God is light. God is the Word. God is power. God is so many things. But I want to tell you, as the apostles was looking at what was going on here, they said that God is light, and in Him, I said, and in Him, there is no darkness at all. You see, this is why we can't just live in a kind of way and talk about, well, we're a child of God. Most folks are doing a lot of things there, and I'm not trying to castigate, because the Word already spoke in my heart, glory to God, before I even got ready to say it. Who am I to judge another man's servant? I have no right to judge another man's servant because he's not my servant. He serves the Lord, and I'm not his servant, and I serve the Lord. So therefore, I have no right to judge another man's servant. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, give it to him. Glory to God. Open up your heart and say, Lord Jesus, come inside and change this old wretched body that I have and put your spirit on the inside of me so that I could serve you and worship you and praise you and love you and also speak the word of God to others that they will be drawn unto you, Lord. Praise his wonderful name. Listen, God is light. I said, God is light. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
That's why God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Praise God.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Ooh, now that's just as clear as your nose on your face. If you say that you love God, you walking with God, you're doing, what else this minister Gloria, she said?
We lie and do not the truth.
And we do not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, we're liars. Mm-hmm. If we're saying that we're walking with him and we're walking in this light because God is light.
Yes, he is.
Praise God. So these are the things that are most prevalent in the lives of people. I was talking to a gentleman there that he was speaking in tongues and he did a variety of things that I call them calisthenics, religious calisthenics, because what happened is that, and I'm not trying to judge what he was doing, but it was so amazing that after he finished talking, he went over and got another spirit, I put it that way. And I said to myself, it kind of puzzled me. And I said to myself, I don't understand this. You know, I don't understand this because, you know, there are two kinds of spirits. There are distilled spirits, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about what he got in terms of the Holy Spirit, but the whole idea, it kind of baffled me. And I had to go back and look at my word and say to myself, well, listen, I have to find out the truth of what I saw, because what I did see, it baffled my imagination. My God, let's look at this thing. God is light. And in him there's no darkness at all. And if we say that we are walking with God and we are in darkness, we do not the truth. We do not the truth. We are not doing the truth of God's word. So, Minister Gloria, I want you to read that again, because what it says is that because we all are supposed to be transparent. Praise God.
It says, so we say, and if is a qualifier.
Yes,
if we
is.
Say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, mm-hmm. we lie and do not the truth.
You know, when you talk about fellowship, we talk about coming in union, you see, in union with God. If we say that we have fellowship with God, now, it already been stated that God is light, so therefore, if we have fellowship with him, we have to be in the same light that he's in, praise God, that he is. So he says here that if we say that we have fellowship or union with God, and God is light, and we walk in darkness, we're not telling the truth. We're not telling the truth. And when I say darkness, I'm talking about all things that are ungodly, things that are contrary to what the word of God says. This is why we cannot live any kind of way. We cannot do what we want to do because our bodies are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in us. So the Spirit leads us. The Spirit guides us. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm speaking in terms of what the Word says because the Holy Spirit, glory to God, is our guide and he's our teacher and he does a lot of things in our lives as children of God. So therefore, we can't say that we are walking or having fellowship with him and walking in darkness. It does not work because it's contrary. Darkness is and light are contrary one to another. It's just like oil and water. They don't mix. So God is light and we're walking in darkness. We're not telling the truth and people can see it. People can see it. Well, anyway, we don't want to spend too much more time on that. Minister Gloria, go ahead.
But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Glory to God. Now he's telling us how we're having fellowship. If we walk in the light, keep in mind that those scriptures emphatically tells us that God is light. Not was light, not will be light, but God is. It's a present reality. Glory to God. And in the seventh verse, it says, and if we walk in the light, if we order our behavior, glory to God, as God walking in the light with him, praise God, we have fellowship with him. I said we will have fellowship with him. We all want to have fellowship, Minister Gloria. We all want to have fellowship continuously with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what John was saying. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Glory to God. Otherwise, we have fellowship with God because God is light and we are walking in the light. Praise God. We will have fellowship one with another. And here come the kicker. And the blood.
Ooh,
I said, and the blood.
Glory
the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all what?
Sin.
From all sin. Isn't that something? From all sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody out there at Radio Land need a cleansing process. Glory to God. Need to be clean. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm not speaking to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm speaking of those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ that have tuned into the broadcast. We know this epistle is written to the church. Glory to God. It's not written to no sinners. It's written to the church. But I want to tell you something here when we walk in the light, because the sinner man can't walk in the light. The sinner man cannot have no fellowship with God. So all of these things is very important as we look at it. So, Minister Gloria, when we walk in the light, what are we supposed to be doing?
Well, in Matthew 5 and 16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works by the Holy Spirit and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Glory to God. This is why we're the... See, this is, you know what's happening, Minister Gloria, is that, you see, we can talk this thing, but this is something that we have to live. You see, and in order to live this, we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. And those that do not know him can know him. Ask God to come into their lives, change their lives, and ask God to baptize them in the Holy Spirit, and they can walk in this light here that we're talking about. So now it says that, let your light.
Let your light.
Now that means that this is something that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. You allow the light. Let your light, the light that you have asked to come into your life. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
And we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts and our lives. And therefore, once he comes in, he's still going to be shining. Praise God. That light is going to be in our lives. And therefore, we're going to let this light shine. That men, glory to God, to see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But if we say that we are walking in the light and are walking in darkness, we lie and do not tell the truth.
Yes.
Glory to God. Minister Lori, you want to read the rest of it?
Say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
My God.
And the truth is not in us.
My God, if we say that we have no sin. How can we say that? We cannot say that because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this is what I was saying on the outset there. I'm not talking about sinless perfection because, first of all, if we've all sinned.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we sin every day.
That's right.
We don't intentionally sin. I don't wake up in the morning and say, well, let me see how many sins I'm going to commit today. No, that's not what it is. We sin through omission, we sin through commission, and some of us intentionally sin. I want to say that again. We sin through omission. You know, a lot of things we do, we just omit it because it's still sin. And some commission, we just go ahead on and do it. We know that it's wrong. There are folks that does this. But I want to tell you today that God has made preparation for us all that are born again. If we sin, not practice sin, because a lot of folks, when you start practicing sin, my God, you get good at it. You see, God doesn't want that. God made preparation for us all that if we happen to miss the mark, hamartia, if we miss the mark, I want to tell you, he made preparation for us, but not to practice sin.
Amen.
Not to intentionally sin. My God. So what does he say here? That
say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
If we confess our sins. Now, as I said before, this is written to members in the body of Christ. I hear a lot of folks talking about, well, it's written to the sinner man. No, the epistle is not written to the sinner man. It's written to the child of God. He says here, because he started out walking in the light. A sinner cannot walk in the light. And these are the whole things here. A sinner cannot have fellowship with God. Cannot have fellowship with God. Although God loves him. Don't get me wrong. God loves him. But he cannot have no fellowship with God because God is light. And an unregenerated person is walking in darkness. So the two cannot mix. You know what I'm talking about, Mr. Green?
Amen.
The two cannot mix. So what happened is that we have the opportunity. If we miss the mark, I said miss the mark. In other words, if we sin, we can confess this and not continue and repent of it and not continue to do that. So what it says here at the bottom there, he said if we confess. In other words, it's amazing. God loves us. He knows what we're doing. He knows before we even do it what we're going to do. We're not going to catch God by surprise. But God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. But he said, if we confess, he wants us to say it. He wants us to say what you've done wrong. He wants you to say it. This is where the true repentance come in, when you say to God, although God knows your thoughts, he is omniscient. He's the all-wise God. But he wants you to say what you've done. You know, I remember in the natural, before we get back into the scripture, I'm saying this is naturally speaking now. You know, my kids, when they did something that were not right and so forth, I told them, I said, no, I want you to say what you've done. You know, don't walk around and say, and I'm going to chastise you and you don't know why I'm doing it. No, you say what you've done that was wrong and say that you're sorry. Now, that's naturally speaking. So spiritually speaking, God wants us to say it. That's why the word says confess. That means that you have to say what you've done. If we confess our sins, now these are acts of sins. I want to make that clear. These are acts of sin. This is not the sin that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for. These are acts of sin. You have sin, which was already dealt with. Jesus took the wrath of God for that. But we're talking about acts of sin now. Something that you are doing. You missed the mark. He never missed the mark. So he says, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful. See, he's faithful. He cannot deny himself. Even if we deny him, he cannot deny himself. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My God, that's what he does. Cleanse us, not from some of what we've done, but from all. And a lot of people say, I can keep doing this because he's gonna cleanse me. No, then you're practicing, and that's not what God wants. Not practicing. Is there if we miss the mark, because the Holy Ghost is not gonna lead you into all of this where you're gonna continue. Because if you do it one time, you miss the mark, you repent of it and ask God to forgive you. But then if you do it again, now you're practicing. You're getting good at this thing, you see. And this is not what God wants. But anyway, he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful,
Minister?
It is
wonderful. Yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of God. Well, I tell you, our time is slipping away here, and we want to extend the invitation of salvation. We don't want to leave this program without giving you the opportunity to say, yes, Jesus.
Yes, Jesus.
Come into my life. Change my life. Take my life and do something with it. And he will. He will come in. Because he's waiting. He's waiting for you to open the door. He's waiting for you to open the door. I'm going to use a verse of scripture here that we use as, double meanings to it. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, it says here that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. So what happened is that the knob on the door is on the inside. It's not on the outside. You got to open that door and he'll come in. He won't force himself in. Glory to God. Amen. There's more to that, but Minister Glory, you
praise
want to do
God.
It because we got
that. Open up your hearts right now. Say
thank
that,
you, Jesus.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth.
Yes, Lord.
The Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And shall believe in thine heart.
Yes.
That God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
With the heart, man believed unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, that's whosoever now, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved by faith.
Glory to God. Well, I thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast, because the Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and he came to save you. The scripture tells us that he came to seek and save that which was lost. And we all were lost. So if we all were lost, we all needed a Savior. Well, God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.